It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, and then 23 to 29. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect, the builder, is God. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on the dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned.
We come to the second reading, which is again from Hebrews chapter 11, and it's just verses 32 to. It talks about the faith of people passing through the Red Sea, as Josie read, and then it talks about the walls of Jericho that fell down. And then it talks about the prostitute Rahab in verse 31. We pick it up at 32. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, and they were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. We come to this great chapter 11 in Hebrews, and it's all about faith. It is probably the best known chapter in Hebrews. And it's a chapter about faith in action. You will have noticed as we read through it, all of the different things that have gone on there refers to many well-known characters in the Bible whose experiences we know. Many of them we would have been taught from our Sunday school days. And the chapter really is quite staggering in its breadth of events, and it's encouraging and challenging at the same time. We may look at these verses and think these events and these experiences are way beyond anything I could even contemplate. And I would agree with you. And yet, we are people of faith. Because when we turn to Jesus for salvation, we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. We exercised faith and put our trust in Jesus as our only hope. We not only became a child of God when we did that, but we started a new life. And that life is a life of faith. So we've started. We're on it. Some of you, like Margaret, in her own words, is well on it. And some of you, I don't know who's the oldest. I'm not going to get into that, but some of us are older than others. And some of us have been on the road for a long time and experience much of God's dealing with us in our lives. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." We sing about the great things which God has done for us. And one of the great things he's done for us is that when we trusted Jesus for salvation, the righteousness of Jesus was imputed to us. A great word means that we became righteous because we belong to God, and righteousness was given to us. And Paul writes there, the righteous will live by faith. If you're a child of God, that's what you are, living by faith. I like this definition of faith. A constant outlook of trust towards God. When believers put their full confidence in him, his word and his promises. I'll repeat that. A constant outlook of trust towards God. When believers put their full confidence in him, his word and his promises. Did you notice Margaret referred to that when she gave her testimony. She talked about trusting God's word, not how we feel, but what does God's word say, and can I build my life on that? Well, Christian, you know you can, and we thank God for that. We can build our life on God's word and his promises, and we do that as we trust God in faith. In verse 1 of this chapter, we read, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." What do we hope for? We hope for a home in heaven with God himself. And when Jesus returns, he will take us there to be with him. Our faith makes us sure of that future hope. So we say, do we believe what the Bible says, that Jesus will come again and that he will take us to our heavenly home? Yes, we do. That is faith. And that is what the Bible says here, being sure of what we hope for. The verse also says that faith makes us certain of what we do not see. We live in a world, don't we, where everything is before our eyes. It's on tablets and phones. It's on television screens. It's in newspapers. It's in cinemas. It's all over the place. It's on billboards. We live in a graphic-filled world where sometimes we can't move because images are there. You go into the doctor's and the TV's on. You may not want the TV on the doctor's. You might need something else. And you see all kinds of different places. You might go to a government office and they've got the TV on. We can't escape it, that if you want to. And so, this verse here, it talks about... I've lost my place. It makes us certain about what we do not see. We can't see God, but we believe in him. We can't see Jesus, but we believe he is God's son and sits at God's right hand. We have confidence in the Godhead and firmly believe that the whole universe was created at God's command. Verse 3 states this. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Many people would say, that is ridiculous. How could God make the universe out of something that was not there? Surely he needed something to work with. But of course, we're talking about God. God can do anything because he is God. And he brought about the universe, and it was brought about at his command. Also, faith gives us an active attitude towards God. Faith gives us an active attitude towards God. For we all have asked and received from him, and it encourages us. How many times have you had answers to prayer and you think, that's encouraging. God not only heard me, but he answered my prayer. And it helps us next time we go to God in prayer, doesn't it? It's an encouragement. We have an encouraging God. Faith gives us an assurance of God and his purposes and moves us forward. As Christians, we are We were made by God to move forward in our faith, for us to grow. You remember that Paul in the New Testament talks about not being babes, spiritual babes, but growing up into maturity. I'm sure you'll remember that, what Paul writes. We're expected to move forward, and we have an assurance in God and his purposes as we trust him. For the Christian, pleasing God is the greatest of the greatest importance. And verse 6 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's of the greatest importance that we live to please God. Therefore, we need to encourage our faith and learn to trust God more and not less. Faith needs to be practical. In the house group last week, in part of our discussion there, one of the members of the group did say that she was going to, that week, that she had committed her family to God in faith. And that the things that maybe she would concern herself about or that she would worry about, she was handing over that responsibility to God. Interestingly enough, somebody in the group also said that they'd done the same. That they prayed to God that they were committing her family to God as well, and was going to concern herself less. Not love them less, but was going to give God the responsibility of looking after them. Now that's practical faith. That's getting faith to work in your life and trusting God because he can. And we all, I guess we've all been there sometime or other, where we've been to the place where we said, Father, this is completely out of my hands. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to trust you with it. I remember hearing a speaker in our last church, going back some time now, and he worked for a company, and the company had run into debts. And it was his responsibility to pay the suppliers. And he said, I went into church, went into work on the Monday morning, and he said, I had all these bills. They were all sitting on the desk in front of me. And he said, I put my hands on them like this, and he said, I committed them to God. And he said, Father, I can't pay these. The company I work for is having difficulty in paying these. As a Christian, and you're my father, I'm going to commit them to you. Now, I don't know what the outcome was, but you can see there, can't you, that he was exercising faith in God and trusting God to bring some benefit and some help to his situation, because it was out of his hands. In this chapter, there are many Old Testament people who trusted God in various circumstances. They are commended for their faith. They were ordinary men and women, and they believed God. They were not perfect. Some of you who, you can look at some of those characters there and say, yep, I can remember that problem with Abraham. I can remember that problem with Moses. I can remember that problem. And remember, I mean, there are characters there which you think, how did they get through the difficulties? But they did. They were not perfect. They made mistakes. But God saw them through. And these characters of the Old Testament, although they died long ago, they still speak to us today because of their great faith. and we praise God for that. They trusted God in situations which seemed impossible at the time. Yet God was there to meet the need. Do you believe that God can meet your needs? I certainly hope that you do. And that your faith and your trust is not only firmly fixed on God, but on his word and his promises as well. We think about Moses and we think about Noah. Moses, who when God called him, did not have great faith. Can you remember that he said, "Who am I that I should go?" You can imagine standing there with his hands behind his back, you know. "Why don't call me? I'll be no good at this kind of thing." But God wanted him to go. He had no great faith. But then, as we read through about how God used Moses and how God worked with those children of Israel, how Moses' faith blossomed and became stronger, and he had this strength with his God. And last week in the house group, how Moses went to God and pleaded with him on behalf of the sin of the Israelites. So there was a reluctance on Moses' part, but God showed him that all things are possible. We read about the Red Sea crossing. We read about the walls of Jericho falling down. Great examples of faith. But then we have a less likely situation. Do you remember Rahab, the prostitute? And yet God in his mercy, God in his infinite love, because this lady trusted him, she was brought over into God's kingdom. We of ourselves, we wouldn't have written that in, would we? And yet God did. God wrote in, and we find that Rahab is listed amongst all these other greats in this chapter. God arranged for her to be saved. And the chapter goes on to speak of many more who trusted God. They were imprisoned and persecuted. And verse 38 reminds us, it says the world was not worthy of them. They were God's people, and they were too good for this world. They were God's people, and they were too good for this world, because their strength was in their faith, which they'd put in Almighty God. And they're still waiting for what was promised, the Bible tells us. That is the New Jerusalem. And verse 40 tells us this. We read this in verse 40. I turn over the page. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Verse 40 tells us what God has planned for the future, both them and us will be brought together at God's consummation at the end of time. Isn't that an amazing thought? That these people listed here will be brought together with us at God's final consummation. That is an amazing thought. So children of faith continue to have a developing trust in your Heavenly Father. Trust him, for he knows best. Even when we think we knows best, God knows best. And it pleases God when we trust him. And the Bible tells us that we must walk by faith and not by sight.